Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here in the middle of Health Blast 2015, where we have a new guest every single day since January 4th, 2015, and we are in the middle of February, and we're hoping to keep this going forward throughout the year. It'll be absolutely a wonderful time to become challenged and say, hey, you know, I know what that's all about, but I listen to your show, and I don't really think I know what you're talking about, or this new thing about where is our life going? How can we find out more? I have all kinds of problems with my health. How can I get some help? Or, you know, I'm taking care of grandparents, and I'm just overwhelmed. All kinds of different topics we'll be talking about this year, everything from cannabis to end of life. Isn't that going to be great? So please do join us on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, Health Blast 2015 on Twitter, and please do share your comments and share all the links about all these wonderful guests we have going forward. You know, it's a pleasure to have you with us here today because we're going to have a great topic which I think is very timely for the year 2015, where we're going to be always talking about how we can kick all this stuff to the curb, not carry around so much baggage with us, and how to really open up ourselves and enjoy our lives. Because this is it, you know. We, all long time ago in the 50s and 60s, we thought we would live forever, and we just did the normal things, have a job and kids, and life went on its merry way. Well, nowadays, there's so many things coming down the pike, it's life's a real challenge every day. My guest today is Peg Conley. Her book is Imagine the Life You'd Love to Live, Then Live It, 52 Inspired Habits and Playful Prompts. It's a wonderful book to be also talking about women over 50. We say, hey, you know, I've gotten all that stuff that I have to do, and I'm done with that. Now it's time to live. So, Peg, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks, Jeanette. I feel honored to be on board. Thank you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you in the middle of Health Blast. You know, we always talk about those things that kind of nag us in the night. You say, I wish I knew, and they go searching on the internet, and hopefully on all of these guests, we'll give them a few solutions or tips, right?
That's right. Thank you.
So let's talk about your book. Imagine the life you'd love to live and then live it. Sounds so simple, yeah. And you say in here, you know, just go do it. But, you know, we look at the past several years, people have had a lot of problems with economics, or they've lost their house, their jobs, their husbands, their bank accounts, and they don't really think it's so easy. So maybe you could share a few tips as we go through this hour about how you can jumpstart that, get yourself out of the muck, right?
Yeah, I'd love to, and as the subtitle says, 52 Inspired Habits and Playful Prompts. So at the end of each chapter, there's a few bullet points with some suggestions of actions you can take or something you can do to move you forward or make you think or challenge you to see it a different way.
Yeah, because habits are all about what we get ingrained in our head or our thoughts. You know, sometimes we have the habits of our parents or our family members or those we live with, and we go, you know, I'm just getting kind of sick of that old story, so maybe it's time for a brand new book, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So let's start about it. You say that your chapter about it's all in the little things. You know, what are the little things of life? What do you think? Because to me, a little thing is, I just stand up and I look outside and, hey, that sun is up and I'm still here. What are your little things?
That is one of the little things. One of my favorite little things is I was driving after a rainstorm a few years ago, and the colors, it was just, you know, how everything is so crystal clear, and it's like the Mother Earth has just had a good cry for herself sometimes, and everything is so fresh, and you can breathe the tingling air, and the clouds were just tinged with all sorts of wonderful colors. In fact, I was so touched by it. I took a photo with my phone in my car, my cell phone, and I came home and played with my watercolors and tried to capture that illuminated sky with all sorts of colors that had blended together. So it really is the little things in life when we take note or take notice of whatever that might be, from a flower blooming to your cat jumping in your lap and, you know, giving you some love. There's any number of things each day that we can be grateful for.
Don't you think we've kind of run through the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s where we might have missed those little things? It seems like everybody was looking for something else. They had to keep running and getting this or that. But now that we have cell phones, everyone's starting to find ways to use it. In other words, we've always got it in our hand. And it's like, oh, look at that, click, you know. And they've got, you know, millions and millions of photos someplace, but it did stop them for a moment so they could recognize something that they might not have otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And again, it's in that moment. I write about in my book where, just to capture those moments, one morning I was walking, doing my usual 3-mile brisk walk, and I had this idea for a chapter. It was when I was writing my book, and I thought, as you said, having a phone in your hand, it's the phone, it's also my iPod, it's also my camera, and at that moment it was my voice recorder, because I stopped where I was and hit record and I talked to myself about what I wanted to remember from my thought. And had I not captured that thought at that moment, like many things, it would have been ephemeral and just gone through, you know, my head, and I wouldn't have been able to pick it back up when I got back home. So it's capturing the moments, be it a thought or a photo or whatever, and living in the now. That's the other thing we continue to hear about, the practice of be here now, or the present is a present, or, you know, to remind us to be in the moment, take one day at a time and not worry about the future you can't control or resent what happened in the past. But when you're here in the now, that's where your power is to take hold of today and move forward from that point.
You know, it's so funny you said about recording something. There's so many times that I think of stuff to write, and it just passes through because I don't stop to write it down or record it, which is now a new trick I'll have to remember. But, you know, I remember seeing the other day on the writer's circle, they said the best writers, they write drunk and they edit when they're sober. And I had to laugh about that because, we think about the saying, we say, oh, we don't really want to be drunk. But if you take it another way, you say you're really high on the moment, you know. Gosh, it's like, oh, my gosh, look at that. Or you could be having another feeling of an emotion, and you could be crying and upset or whatever. But to write that through that and not let that time go is really when you get your best work done.
Most likely. And also, if writing in that perspective or from that state of mind, you're not going to have as much judgment possibly, because you're just out there. You're going to say whatever you're going to say without the filter that you might have if you were not as loose, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I find people, when they're, you know, going through something, they'll sit there, let's say when they come to me and they get some kind of a diagnosis from a doctor or whatever, We find this all the time in healthcare. You know, they'll sit there, they'll come in, they're meek and they're quiet and they have this tremendous amount of fear. And then when they're going out, they're cursing at everybody out. You know, they're just letting it rip because they are just in that space where it doesn't matter about anyone or anything except themselves. And they're just putting their foot down and they're going to get better, and or they're just in that fear. And there's so many times in life when we really don't even recognize it, you know. When you say about having a filter, sometimes we need to let those filters go all the time to be able to see what's behind it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And that's also letting the filters go could be as simple as shift your perspective. I write that's chapter 28 in my book, and there's, as I said, 52 inspired habits, and the reason we came to 52 was, if you think about a year, and as you're talking about your mm-hmm. health blast year of 2015, there's 52 weeks in a year. So each week you could pick up this book and take a chapter and read through that and find something that might inspire you to make a change. And in the case of chapter 28, I encourage, you know, turning around and looking at something differently. And I write about how I was in Florida with my husband on vacation. His mom lives down there, and we had gone to visit her. So we went, I took my watercolors. I'm an artist, and I have a greeting card line called Words and Watercolors. So I'm always looking for inspiration for a watercolor painting. And I love the ocean. I love the palm trees. And I just assumed, as we went to have a glass of wine late afternoon, that I would be painting palm trees, the turquoise ocean, the clouds, whatever. But I found myself turning around, and I saw the most wonderful stucco building with blue and white striped awnings. And I thought, oh, wow, isn't that neat? So somehow that view captured me. And that's what I ended up doing a watercolor of. And it was just really interesting, this shift in perspective. So what I started out thinking I was going to do completely changed. And we all have that ability to look 180 degrees, swivel your head around and look at it differently and see a totally different answer or a totally different thought. So shift your perspective in this health blast year.
Yeah, and that's really all about your perspective. So many people say, you know, well, this is the way I do it, and this is the way it's going to be done. And sometimes, you know, you gotta keep trying to go up that hill with your fingernails, you know, and it's just, you know, sometimes you just have to give up. You have got to say, you know, there's got to be a way around this or through it or something else. I don't mm-hmm. always have to fight through life, and so many people really do fight through life, you know,
right.
And they really need to just say, let it go. Just
right.
Let it go. Take a hint from the young kids, you know, they're like, why are you doing it that way? And they look at you in puzzlement, and it's like, oh, you know, and you get frustrated, and you say, well, this is the way it has to be done. And they're like, you just do it this way, you know, and they're going, oh, my goodness, you know.
Right, right. It's so much easier from their perspective to do it that way. Why couldn't we see that? Right.
Right.
So
it's definitely about seeing it a different way. You know, you also
yeah.
have a chapter in here about cleaning out the closet. And I really think about a lot of times people say, oh, you know, I switch my closet over because it's winter to fall or spring or summer or whatever. I don't need to do that. Well, kind of, I live in the deep south. I live in New Orleans now. And there's really no need to do that because we don't really wear coats or sweaters. We wear light sweaters. That's about it. But kind of everything's just there, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I noticed it the other day where I had two or three bags of clothes that I really hadn't paid much attention to. They were vacuum sealed in the back. And I pulled them out and I said, oh, my goodness, my string bikinis from when I was 45. Now, this is very important, so do follow here. You
okay.
know, how many things do we have in our closet where we say, has that time of life passed and I'm not going to need it anymore, you know? And we say that, you know, who was I then? And we kind of want to revisit that. And, you know, we all see people on the beach, they're 60s and they've got them on and it's like, oh, gosh, sweetheart, you just need to go home. But, you know, they're holding on to theirs. But, you know, sometimes we just have to say our life is phasing through. I mean, we've talked about our women over 50 group, you know, briefly here. But
Right.
The funniest thing was, I said, you know, I would love to be able to wear, you know, stilettos again. I've always worn them. But for the past few years, I have not. And I said, I'm just going to tie those suckers onto my walker when I need them. I'm not cleaning them out my closet. I'm going to keep them, you know.
And
it's all about keeping the fun back in life, too. So many people, they say, don't need it. Get on, you know, move on, move on, move on. And so many people are forcing you to move on that you're not even enjoying where you are right now. So, you know, if you're 58, 59, and you can still wear that bikini, hey, just put a T-shirt over it. You know you got it on. You're okay, you know, whatever. But
right.
It's about having fun in life. So many times we do all these tips and these solutions, and we are downright miserable because we felt like a piece of our spark is gone. You know, like maybe we threw it out, you know, like, oh, love letters. You throw them out with the trash. You say, oh, well, that's not me anymore. Well, keep those little dark, you know, pieces of yourself that are, you're like sparks. I think those are so important.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Well, I think it's, it all depends on how you're going to view it, too. And if it's something that, yeah, brings that sparkle or spark into your life, for sure,
right,
keep it. But if it's something that has served its time and its purpose, and you know I'm never going to wear that plaid jacket again because that looks screaming 1993, you know, then you're going to get rid of it. And in my clean out your closets chapter 15, I started out saying, it's been said many times, if you want to bring in the new, you've got to make room for it, which translates to get rid of the old. And in the spirit of that, I wrote this, go through your closets, go through your drawers, go through the nooks and crannies and clean up, clear out, and make way for life to surprise you. And I wrote that from my own experience of, as I called it, pitch, purge, and pack, became a mantra of mine as I went through 19 years of memories, i.e. stuff in my big old house in Seattle. And I now live in San Francisco. I moved here and 2009, and it wasn't easy, I'll say that for sure. It was really a challenge to let go of a way I looked at myself and where I lived and move here. I came here because I had recently been married, and my husband lived in San Francisco and I lived in Seattle, but we went to high school, of all things, in Indiana together, so this was many years later when we got married, and that move was cleaning out more than closets, but it also allowed for this creative person in me to burst forth or come forth. And I don't think, in fact, I'm pretty darn positive, had I never made this move to San Francisco, I would still be in Seattle in my big old house, which I loved but needed a lot of work, and I'd probably still be schlepping carpet. I was in commercial sale. I sold commercial office furniture for many years, and then I sold commercial carpet with a degree in interior design. It was the path that made sense for me. And moving here and not being able to find a job in 2009 in my career allowed for this artistic sensibility to bubble up to the surface. And I had started a greeting card company in the mid-90s and only done it for 2 years. And I did have my artwork licensed with another greeting card line. So my art was out in the world in a limited way. But in 2009, 2010, as I explored and try to determine, you know, I kind of lived in the uncertainty of life, which I talk about in Dive Into the Unknown. It's what chapter is that? It's one of the later chapters. I know that. Dive Into the Unknown, yeah, chapter 47. And I feel like for me, we don't always have the answers. We sometimes have to just be in that unknown place. And when I allowed myself to just say, I don't know, and kind of live this uncertainty, it wasn't necessarily comfortable, but what it did was allow some great ideas to bubble up to the surface, or allow this artistic persona of me that wanted to come forward in a big way. So I think that's kind of the exciting part of life and looking at life differently and seeing that, you know, I was in my mid-50s when I made this big change, and it's possible. We don't have to stay rooted where we were. So I don't know if that makes
also,
sense.
Yeah, and it is about clearing out a lot. I know we live here in the land of Hurricane Katrina, we stayed, and you know, a whole lot of stuff went, and we learned what was important and wasn't. You know, a refrigerator is not an essential thing. An ice chest is, but a refrigerator is not. You know, when we really learned that, you know, those trinkets and those tchotchkes, you know, so what if they're gone? You know, I hated that couch anyway, and I didn't feel like dusting that stuff anymore anyway, so no big deal. And a lot of people here learn that too, you know, that we just don't need all of that stuff, and you don't need to pay $10,000 for a couch. You can spend $300, and when you're sick of it, it can go. So it's all about being able to reframe your mind on what's so vitally important and just not giving so much emphasis to it. You know, I learned that from a lot of end-of-life clients that I worked with, and they were so tied to things like, oh, well, you know, my spouse needs to pay for the car, and I'm so worried about it. Or my kids make sure they get this, this, and this, or I'm going to save all my money and put it over here in a corner so that when I'm gone, everybody will have money. But it doesn't even matter that I'm living on a minimum wage right now. But those kids have 10 times that money right now, and they could spend whatever I'm leaving them in one day just going out to eat. So really, where does our focus go on what's important in our life? And to be able to shift it back from, we were always a giving people. Take care of your kids. Take care of your house. Take care of your job. Take care of your spouse. That was all the giving stuff. And now it's kind of like reflecting back. You've really got to take care of yourself first, because without you, where does the equation go? It can't go any further.
Right.
So I think that's really the big focus where everything is now.
Right. Right, and that's the banner to fly for your Health Blast of 2015 is to, you know, take care of you and imagine the life you'd love to live, not what your mom wanted you to live, or not what you think you should live, or not what your spouse wants you to live. And I know it's hard sometimes to stand up and say, I'm going to do this, and it's scary because you may not have, it's giving up security, and that's something I struggled with and still do at times. I had a lot more financial security before I took off on my little creative quest than I do now. However, I didn't have as much fulfillment in getting my creativity out in the world. So there's a trade-off to look at with things. And focusing on you allows everybody to be happy. If you take care of yourself, then everybody benefits from that. But if you give too much, I had someone explain to me one time that, like, our uterus is females, you know, if we give, and it's not filled up, then we can't give anymore, and we can have some issues. But if you think of it as, you know, nurturing yourself and keeping that uterus space filled and glowing or flowing, or it's with flowers or whatever, as you nurture and take care of yourself, everybody benefits from that. We all benefit from that. So.
And I think so, too. We look at, you know, nurturing and bringing back in. Women are the highest in heart disease, you know, because, you know, you give your hugs to your kids when they're little. You're giving them all out in the beginning of your life. But then you look at yourself, you know, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and you're going, you know, my phone hasn't rang for 6 months, or nobody's really come to the door of my house except the mailman. There's a lot of people like that. And it's so we're really almost, I guess, human and heart vacant at the time. We really don't feel that compassion touch anymore, and that's so vitally important. You know, but in your book, too, you say about, like, things like take a nap, which is important to nurture for yourself, you know?
Right. That's one of my favorite. Yeah, I love taking a nap. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's really about taking care of yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you don't have some sort of connection somewhere, somehow, to something, you really will go off in the abyss.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And just like a little kid, for me, if I'm really tired and I don't take a nap maybe on a whatever day, and I'm allowing myself to be stressed out or whatever, that's when I can I don't have a temper tantrum, but I'll start to cry, or, you know, I don't have the balance. And taking a nap helps just put balance back in life, I think. And, you know, it's those simple things we learned as, what was that? There was a book many years ago, like, everything you needed to know you learned in kindergarten, you know. like take a nap and be nice to each other or play or whatever. And I also talk about the importance of having a playful attitude. In my chapter on Take a Class, I talk about how I have been doing some watercolor workshops, and I love teaching people. I love teaching watercolor, and people will say, oh, I can't do that, or watercolor is so hard. And no, it's not. Just play with it. And when you come with the attitude of play, people are so surprised at what they can do. And I had one woman, I always ask people to, you know, state their name and what they wanted to learn from the class briefly. We go around and introduce ourselves at the beginning, and a woman said, you know, she was probably in her, 40s to 50s, that she was told in, fourth or fifth grade that she was not a good artist or she couldn't do art. And I thought, oh, my God, here she's lived with this idea all these years because of some teacher way back then. And I said, well, that's not true, and you're just going to play with this and have fun. And she did. It was so encouraging to watch her and to watch the joy. She just played with the watercolors and had fun with it. And at the end, we do a little show and tell, and she held up her painting, and she was so happy. And I believe that she would continue on, and I encourage everybody to just keep playing with it. And it's that playful attitude that you can bring that you just surprise yourself with what you can do. And keeping that alive, again, it benefits you. It benefits everybody that you come in contact with, because then you're inspired, and you know, inspired comes from in spirit, and you know, you've got that the divine channeling through you, I think. So, yeah, keep a playful attitude. Yeah,
play is definitely important, and also to be light in your life. You know, as I've said many times, we live in New Orleans, and just the other day they. A while back, they had the running of the Santas. And it was so funny because you would see, 2,000-3,000 people with Santa costumes on or reindeers or, you know, all kinds of different various forms of it.
Uh-huh.
And there was a girl going down the street, and she had on one of these teeny tiny Santa skirts, you know, and a teeny tiny top with these really long striped leggings and high shoes. And I said to my husband, I said, you know, that would have been me decades ago. And you know what? Maybe it'll be me next year.
Oh, fun.
And you just think, oh, my gosh, would you ever do that? And it's sort of like, you know what? Hey, your kids have moved away. They're not going to be watching you walking down the street. If you need to go do it, go do it. And that's playing, having fun, you know?
Right.
Why do you think everybody flocks to New Orleans? It's because their relatives aren't here to watch their bad behavior. So, you know, and we think about it is just get out and enjoy it. You know, like we said before about the bikini, if you've got your own private pool, what's going to matter, you know? Or if you've got 10 of your friends and you're all over 80, hey, go to the local pool, you know, just make sure it's early in the morning before everybody else, or at the end of the night when no one's there, sneak in and just have yourself a grand old time. It's just about being happy with your life and being light about it, and just, you know, go with the inspiration. Hey, that sounds fun. I want to do that, you know. And you could just get in and just be light. It's just so vitally important.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, have fun with it. And because in that, as you have fun, you're inspiring others, and it's an energy that gets radiated out there. You know, everybody's going to pick up on it or have fun with it. Yeah.
You also say in your book about write a letter and mail it. I know this is one thing I've always been speaking to so many people about, is because they wait, end of life when we are in the, emergency room or in the room at the hospital or in hospice, and they say, oh, well, I have to tell them, but they have to hurry up and get here. And it's like, you know, they're just not going to make it, you know. So sometimes, you know, write your letters ahead of time. And if you don't want to mail them right now, put them in a box, put some stamps on, and give that box to someone for a Christmas gift and say, hey, next year, would you mail this for me? You know, It's just about passing things on and just letting some of that go is so seriously vitally important. You know, it's funny, when we get really sick, we have people go find my insurance cards or my all kinds of papers. I'm telling you where they are or anything. And wouldn't it be great to just have a great, just short letter or a little note that says, you know, I cherished you always, and then your name, or I loved you always, and then your name, or I'm so sorry, and to someone, and just be a card, and they would find that when they went through those papers. It'd be such a release to that person that was out there looking through all that stuff, right?
Right. That is a great idea. Yeah. Well, and when I wrote that chapter, Write a Letter and Mail It, comes from this book started out as a calendar idea, which is where we got the 52 chapters as a year. But I initially was thinking in February, my suggestion was to take each week in February and pick somebody that, you know, it's the month of love. So write a letter, right, a handwritten letter to somebody you love and mail it in the month of February, because I believe also, you know, we live in this world of Facebook and texting, and we don't put pen to paper. And yet, when we do, funny enough, my husband's brother broke his ankle. I think it was last year in the January or February with that awful snow in Indiana. And we mailed him a get well card. Of course, I have a greeting card line called Words and Watercolors. I have thousands of cards around me. So I got a get well card, and we both wrote, you know, briefly, send it off to Robin. And he called us to thank us and said, "You're the only card I got." And we just laughed. Isn't that amazing? We mailed, you know, you have to address the card. You have to put the stamp on it. You have to go to the post office, drop it in. But then it's such a joy for the person on the receiving end of things. So, it's, yeah, a little touch that means so much, I like to say.
Right. Don't you remember when we used to get Christmas cards? You know, I thought about that the other day, and I had not gotten any for many years. I haven't had a card in a long time, probably decades. But anyway, some business had sent me something, and it had three little pictures in it. So I cut those out, and I put them on my refrigerator. I said, those are going to be my Christmas cards for this year. But, you know, we think about that. There's a lot of people in our family who really have nobody around at all. And, you know, and just about to be able to share that with someone that's so important.
Right. And it means so much. Yeah, it really does. So
it really does. And then just doing these little things, I think, and, you know, when you do these, as, you know, you say in your book, you know, let's say we turn around and we're playful, and someone else will see us do that, and they might share it with someone else, or they might ask you, what the heck is going on with you, you know? And all you have to do is pick up Peg's book that says, Imagine the Life You Love to Live, and then live it, and say, I found it in here. Don't judge me. I'm just doing it.
That's a great idea,
you know? You love the critics, don't you? You just love them when they're out there. There's one on every corner, a critic, you know? Just turn your head around, and you'll find one.
right.
But it's great to be able to say, hey, I'm trying something. I'm doing something different, you know?
Right. And that just the fact that you're trying something different is going to open up, well, you would know, what is it, neural pathways in your brain? Or again, going back to the Health Blast 2015, let's, you know, rewire our brain a little bit differently, or you're going to vibrate differently somehow, and it's going to have a soothing effect or a happy effect or a good effect or some kind of thing, just switching it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to be able to lighten yourself up, you know, that's really, really the difference. And, you know, to celebrate the little things, you know, you talk also about creating a sacred space. What do you mean by that? Because we've had a lot of guests on the show before that said about having an altar and having stones and having this, that, and the other. It was so funny because I went to dust off my bookshelf and I gathered up all of my gems that I had there along with some other things, and I said, you know, y'all just got to go in this vase because I need to clean up. I put them in the vase, and as soon as I dropped them to the bottom of the vase exploded. They were like, there's like no way I'm going in here. Not going to happen.
They did not want to be contained. There was a lot of energy in those stones. Yeah,
and then another time I was walking past that same bookcase, and I had a porcelain angel on the shelf, you know, to the back. It was holding up some books, and I was going to get something, and I was talking to someone on the phone, and when I walked past it, that porcelain angel flew off the back of the shelf all the way and dropped right on my feet, and I went, wow, what is the difference with this? So really, let's talk about energy and sacred space. I mean, there's a lot of energy out there where, you know, if something's really waving itself in your face, you need to pay attention to it.
Right. Well, and create sacred space. It is that reminder to have a touchstone or a place to stand, or it could be When I lived in Seattle, I had a dresser in my bedroom. I had a few dressers. I had a huge bedroom. And one of them, the dressers, was my altar, so to speak. I had candles and I had stones and rocks, wishing rocks that I'd picked up, and pictures of my kids. And it held a lot for me, even little affirmation cards, Louise Hay affirmation cards I had. And so in the morning when I'd get dressed, even if it was just 10 seconds, I might look at something, or I might say my affirmation, or there was a sense of peace that came over me as my eye fell on whatever. So that was a touchstone for me. And I write in the chapter about Create a Sacred Space how it can be where you meditate. And some people are lucky enough to have a meditation room. You know, I'm lucky to have a meditation chair. Right. You know, my turquoise chair that I sit in every morning when I get up. Well, not every morning, but I try to. It's a chair in our front room. We live in San Francisco. You know, you don't have a lot of space here. There's no McMansions. Well, there are, but not where I live. And so my chair doubles as, you know, I can watch TV there at night, but I can also meditate in the morning. And when I open my eyes, and I can open up and see the sky turning pink and beautiful. And it might be, as a friend had, she claimed a space in her walk-in closet, a small space in her closet became where she would go to meditate. And it's anything that we deem ours for our health. And it could also even be your journal can be a sacred space or a sacred place. And I, in addition to advocating having a sacred space, I keep a journal as one of my chapters. And I have always advocated to anybody I talk to, did you write that out of you? Have you written about it? Because I know for me, the power in the written word and the power in, as Julia Cameron, I've loved many of her books, and one of her books is called The Right to Write, and it's the right, the R-I-G-H-T, to write, W-R-I-T-E. And it is in that writing that you can have some ahas or awarenesses. But again, it's a sacred space, or maybe where you sit every morning to write in that journal and drink your cup of tea is a sacred space. So there's any number of ways you can create it, but just to acknowledge it or know that you can invite the divine or invite your angels or guides, whatever you want to call it, when you sit, wherever you sit, or when you stand in front of the altar and look at your favorite things, or when you ask for grounding before you go out the day, you know, align your chakras, or any number of tools or things you can do. But it's just important, I believe, to have that touchstone, a touchstone. So,
and there's also a lot, that's across a lot of decades because of our lives, because some people understand what you're saying and some people don't. You know, when I look at my grandmother when she was in her 90s, well, actually all her life, in her dresser in her bedroom, she had nothing on it but a lace doily, her wedding ring in a small, tiny shell dish, and a bottle of pink olive oil.
And oh, wow, right.
Yeah, and she'd stand there, and it had a huge mirror, and she would just stand there, you know, and take off her ring, put the cream on her hand, just close her eyes and say her prayers, take off the ring, put it in the dish or whatever, and that was her time for just herself. Mm-hmm. And she just stood there and just did that. And so for everybody, there's a full range of different ways to do this, you know, because really, it's really up to you what it might be for you. And she just always did that, you know. I have another grandmother. Lord, I don't know what she did. She always complained. You know, until the 99th year, but that was her thing. She just loved to eat, so that was about it. That's all I remember about her. So, you know, hey, let's create some great memories around ourselves so that when we are finished or in this world, people will say, you know, that's what she used to do, and that was kind of cool. And instead of saying, I don't remember, but she just complained and ate, so, right?
right, yeah. What better way to be, yeah, you want to hold that other memory, right?
Right, change the perspective on what people, you know, just like shine your other light better. You know, you don't always need to have the red light on your house. You could turn on the pink one, you know.
Right.
It's just about letting a little bit loose of some other things and just saying, I don't need to worry about that. That's not important anymore, and this is what I'm going to do now, and not worry so much. I mean, that's really about it. You know, you also speak about diving into the unknown. How many people are saying, there is no way, no how. I don't have that learning curve anymore. I'm quite comfortable where I am, and that's the way I'm going to do it for the next 40 to 50 years. What you think?
I don't think we can. And I think, as you've mentioned before, too, and things are, we're in a different kind of a world than we were in the 1950s or the 1960s. Things are different than when we were kids, and things move really fast. And so if you think, I'm going to be like this and I'm going to stay here forever, it's not going to work like that, because your body's going to change, your health is going to change, your house could change. And even my mom, who just passed away at the ripe age of 96, and she was obviously going through some health challenges and changes over the last, 5 years. I mean, she was really pretty good. But we're always changing. We're going to change, I think, until we take our last breath, be it
right.
Be it memory issues, or in my case, I was just diagnosed with arthritis in my left hip this year, and I'm like, what the hell? How can I get that? But it's curtailed my 3-mile walking every morning, so I'm doing exercises that I've learned at the physical therapy, but it's something I'm having to learn to deal with, and it's not something I would have asked for, that's for gosh darn sure, but I was just thinking the other day, okay, what can I learn from this? What is this going to teach me? And so taking the attitude of, yeah, how do I learn from this? This is something new I have to deal with. Not that I would have chosen it, but it's here now, and how am I going to learn from it? And one of the things, I did share this with some friends, if you look at arthritis, it has the word art in it, A-R-T. And I've been so busy with my business, I have not been doing my art every day. I haven't been painting. I haven't been posting my painting a week on Facebook like I was doing. And so maybe I need to start some art therapy for myself. So those are, you know, kinds of the ways of I like to just challenge myself with my thinking, and how can I learn from this and make it not a bad thing, but I'm going to have to learn to live with it. So how do I deal with this? So, yeah, we're always going to be challenged. Yeah.
Well, you know, and also a lot of people want the world to be perfect, and they've got this vision and this thing in their mind where they've painted that picture, and this is what it is. And it's just about, you know, taking that picture and altering it a little bit for what reality is, and just putting a graceful spin on it. Because, you know, we paint the picture that I have this disease, I have this label, I have that label. And then that becomes our picture, whereas you never get to be able to shine through that part of you or who you are. You're kind of always, like, forefronted with all of this disease minutiae. And it just really kind of takes over your outside, you know, how you project yourself into the world. So when people turn around and just say, you know, who are you? I am. And just say your first name. You know, you're not all that other stuff. You're not all of these labels and everything you've put upon yourself. It's just like it's going to be okay, you know?
Right. And there's a power in that, just I am. I am my name. I am Peg. I am, yeah, I think it was Wayne Dyer, maybe I listened to, or a CD or something, where he talked about the power in I am, and just claiming or stating, I am happy, I am joyful, I am living today with love, you know, any number of things that you can say. But I am, there's a real power to that. I am presence that's with you. So
it's so funny. I had another guest on the show, Miguel Ruiz Jr., and we talked about his book. And we were saying that on the show, I was struggling like nobody's business to be able to finish updating my website. And I would be doing the About Me page and all that. And I kept saying, you know, I just can't get past this. I sat with that page for like 6 months. And all I had typed on it was I am, and I said I don't want to put these labels. It doesn't matter to me where I went to school. I don't care how many degrees I have. I just am a person. And we kept going over this and over this and over this. And then I finally talked to him, and I said, you know, I'm stuck at the I am. He says, isn't that a fabulous place to be? That was the most fabulous place to be. And, you know, a lot of my pages and a lot of my sites had gone down. I took them all down and cut out a lot of that stuff. You know, people want to know about me. I don't know. Google it.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. You'll find out. And I think just letting all of that go, because all of that stuff, when people say, you know, oh, well, I worked for this company for 30 years, or, you know, oh, I have 10 kids, and didn't you see him? He's a doctor here and there. And that's not who you are at all. I want to know who you are. And I think maybe we should stop asking, who are you? You just say, hi, what's your name, instead of who are you? You know, it's almost like we're commanding that we have to justify that conversation to have with you. I mean, I live in New Orleans. It is the craziest place here. Everybody will tell you. When you live here, I've lived here since the 70s. Mm. First words out of the mouth is, who's your family? What school did you go to? Mm. They have no conversation with you unless they know who you were, you know, where you've been, and, you know, how you're related. And that is like that a lot in a lot of areas, you know. It's more justification upon you. And it's really a time, I think, about shaking a lot of that and just saying, you know, hey, who are you? I'm Jeanette. That's it. Just like you. Who are you? I'm Peg. You know, isn't that nice? And then don't even go on with all that other stuff, you know.
Right,
because for me, when you say, you know, imagine the life you'd love to live, mine is like, gosh, I'm so tired of rattling all that stuff off. Doesn't matter to me anymore, you know. It might matter to you, but it doesn't matter to me at all, you know. It's not going to change how I'm going to talk to you or interact with you. And I think a lot of people can look at that and say, does that change how I interact or talk with you? And see, does that really matter or not?
Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't matter because you are who you are, so to speak, and let that light shine forth. And one of my favorite chapters in my book is Let Your Heart Lead You, and chapter 5. And I really feel that that's part of all of this change and challenges we're all going through. I think we're all being called to learn to live from our heart. And because I tell the story in the book about St. Francis. I now live in the city of San Francisco, you know, named after St. Francis.
Right.
And when I lived in Seattle, that was named after Chief Self. And I learned some shaman techniques and ways. I was in a shaman circle for a number of years. And now I'm here in the land of St. Francis. And my St. Francis statue that I used to have on my back patio in Seattle fell down the stairs. We live in a Victorian apartment. And the cats had knocked it off, and I thought, what the hell? As I heard all this bang, kerplang, kerplunk, punk. And it took me a few days, but in my shaman kind of world, I'm thinking, what? Oh, my God, he's decapitated.
Right.
You know, St. Francis's head fell off. And it took me a few days till I went, oh, that we have to metaphorically let our head roll down the stairs and learn to live from the heart. That's what...
Yeah.
Was the lesson I learned, and I feel that's, you know, and that's how you can imagine your life, when you can come from that heart space. And as I also say, you know, our heart whispers, where the head is going to yell at you, but the heart is whispering. So really listen to that heart. Listen to the whispers. Listen to your neighbor that tells you something out of the blue and it just is exactly what you needed to hear. Or you drive by a billboard and you see something which is what you were searching for. I mean, there's any number of ways we can get information, I think. But if you're open to that heart leading you, you will just have a lot of fun with how things can show up for you, I think.
And also about, you say in your book, about allowing life to unfold. That's so vitally important. Because then if you just don't put those labels on it, or you just let it go and say, oh, dear, you know, just like as your statue fell, oh, dear, you know, it'll be okay. Because you can sit there and worry and fret over a whole lot in the world these days. But it really has to be a time to just say, it. Just got to let some of it go.
Right. Yeah. So as I wrote in my journal, another one of my chapters, besides keep a journal, my other is write with your non-dominant hand. And that's something I learned to do many years ago. A therapist I worked with at the time had taught me, because there's a lot of wisdom in your non-dominant hand. So I was struggling the other day with some issues writing down what they were with my dominant hand, and then I switched the pen to my left hand, and I wrote, let it go, let it go, let it go, kind of like let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Right,
and,
right.
And I even wrote, you know, sung to the tune of, and I thought, oh, isn't that funny? So,
yeah,
we just really need to let it go and be here now, going back to that. Yeah, I think there was some, there in my book, there are some themes that carry through all of the chapters, you know, looking at things differently and challenging and yourself to, you know, let it go and be here now, live from the heart, et cetera.
Right. You know, that's so funny you say about the non-dominant hand. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but, you know, I went to grade school with the nuns, you know.
Oh, right,
and,
right.
Yeah, and I'm left-handed. And it was a hellacious life, let me tell you. Because they used to hit my hands all the time and tell me, don't you dare pick up that hand. And, they hit you with the hand. But then when I went to dental hygiene school, same thing. You know, you had to use your right hand because in the 70s, everything was from the right-hand side of the patient. And it was so funny. And I said, no way, no how. When I got out, I just used my other. So now I just do everything with both hands. And it was just such an experience to be able to do that.
Wow. Huh. That would be interesting.
So you became
somewhat ambidextrous, right?
Right. Yeah, I would clean people's top teeth with my right hand and their bottom teeth with my left. It was interesting. So it was funny you had said about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I definitely believe in writing with your non-dominant hand to access wisdom. I've done it over the years, and I'm always amazed and marvel at what comes through because I believe it's just, you are accessing a different hemisphere of your brain, and
right.
For me, it's like a higher power comes through, or spirit, or angels, or guides, whatever you want to call it. But I can get some clarity that I wouldn't normally get if I just kept writing with my regular hand. So, yeah. So it's one of my.
It does make a difference.
It makes a big difference. Yeah. One of the inspired habits in my book. So.
Absolutely. Well, Peg, we've come to the end of the hour. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Could you share with us, the listeners, a bit more information about your book and your website? That would be wonderful.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much. Well, as I had mentioned, I have a greeting card line, and you can go to wordsandwatercolors.com, and it's spelled out wordsandwatercolors.com. And when you click on the homepage, you'll see Peg's book is up at the top. You can click on that and go to the book page, and from there you can read a little bit about it and see the cover, but you'll also have links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and indie booksellers, and you can read some of the Amazon reviews when you go to Amazon. You can also look around at my greeting cards, and I have a lot of variety of categories, birthday, comfort, etc., inspirational, and a few other gifty kind of things, but that's the best way to find me. You can also go to my Facebook page. I have Peg Conley, P-E-G-C-O-N-L-E-Y, Facebook, and also Words and Watercolors has a Facebook page you can go to, at Peg Conley for Twitter. And, just find me any way you can. And I love to hear stories from people. If you pick up the book and you read it and you try some of the exercises and you're marveling at how things have helped or moved you, let me know. I love to hear that. So I wish everyone that picks up the book has fun as you read through it and is inspired and comes up with some ideas that propel them to see how they can do something they maybe hadn't considered before.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Peg. It was a wonderful pleasure having you with us.
Thanks so much. It was a lot of fun being with you, Dr. Jeanette. I learned a lot, too. So I look forward to checking out more of the Health Blast 2015.
Well, thank you so much. If you'd like more information about Peg Conley, her book is Imagine the Life You'd Love to Live, Then Live It, 52 Inspired Habits and Playful Prompts. Please do check out her website. It is on the bottom of today's show page, and you can click on there and go directly to her page and find out more information. So thank you so much for being with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher for Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and Alternative Health and Wellness. It's been a pleasure. please do check out all of the other information that we have about Health Blast 2015. We hope to have a radio guest every single day in the year. Won't that be wonderful? So thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.